Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining in, and I am John, and with Dr. Suzanne. And it appears that we're having some technical difficulty at this point in time, but we do thank you for being a part of this show at this time. And again, my name is John, and we have Dr. Suzanne here at this time. We are New Beginning Ministries, and we have a Bible study discussion group where we invite those listeners to tune in as we share the gospel, different scriptures, and we just more so discuss what the Lord is saying to you as we go through these scriptures. We are in Kingdom Ministry, and that is the title of what we've been going through at this time. And before we start anything, we always like to begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for being a part of this ministry. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time that you've given us to be able to share a word of the gospel with you. We thank you for all the listeners. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the discussion that's going to take place. And Lord, Father, we ask that you would anoint this Bible study discussion at this time, and you would just bless those, Heavenly Father, who are participating wherever they may be. Father, we also ask that you would be with Hope Ministries, which they are in the Dominican Republic at this time, spreading the gospel. Lord, we pray that you would just allow them to safely be able to spread the gospel to those that they come in contact with, that, Father, that the ear gates of those that hear, Father, would open up, that the hearts of, Father, those that may be hard may be soft, and let your word, Heavenly Father, begin to spread as they go to do a good work for you. And Lord, Father, then we ask that so they would have a safe return. Lord, we thank you for those who are part of this, and we just give you the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, for those who are listening internet, again, we do thank you, and if you are joining us for the first time, You can type your question in, and we will respond to your question. And if you are calling via phone, you can call in to 213-943-3434. I'm sorry. The number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Sound like I'm kind of muffled. The number to call is 347-237-4054. That's Blog Talk Radio, and you would be connected to New Beginning Ministries and our Wednesday Bible study discussion. As we start off our ministry talk and discussion, rather than at this time, the question is asked, what is my understanding of kingdom ministry? What is my understanding of kingdom ministry? And we're going to just basically ask questions as we go through this topic. There are questions that you can self-evaluate, and if you choose to dial in, and we will connect you so that you can share what your understanding of our discussion is about. And again, I'm asking for another question again. My understanding of what kingdom ministry is about.
Well, I think kingdom ministry is supernatural beyond flesh. It's being obedient to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. It's putting the things to us. It's not in our own imagination, it's not our own will, or our own desire, but as the Holy Spirit directs. So sometimes, and I'm saying what I say also, sometimes people take on things that they believe are, that because they may be Christians, that's what they have to do, but it should be Holy Spirit directed.
Amen.
That's what he said. Be really minded in as how prior to Jesus' ascension that he gave the disciples the charge to preach the gospel. But in doing so, he also told them not to go out, but they were to wait for the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was the direct.
Amen. And when I look at the kingdom ministry, it's all that you've said, Dr. Smith. You know, just adding on to that, I see kingdom ministry as what we as Christians should be doing at this time. Basically, the same that you were saying, going out with the Holy Spirit. But after we have had that personal relationship with God, and we have taken the time to spend with God, and God is speaking to us, that as we go out, we are to spread the gospel to those that we come in contact with, our job, at home, our friends, even those that we don't even know. We are to spread the gospel, and that's sharing a word with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to thump people and bang them in the head with the Bible.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can just be a smile.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it can just be a caring attitude, letting them know that you care, or helping them in a time of need. So, you know, I think in terms of we are supposed to love one another, then we express that love by the things that we do. So to me, I see that as kingdom ministry. And then after we do that, then God begins to start to speak to our spirits. We can openly share Christ with them if they have not, if they don't know Jesus Christ. So I look at that as being the kingdom ministry. It's all about the kingdom. Whatever we do, wherever we go, it's all about the kingdom. and God is first in all that we do and all that we say. As we move on, and there are scriptures that we are going to just ask you to look at, and as we look at those scriptures, we're just going to again have a discussion of what the Lord is speaking to you when you read the scripture wherever you are, and you can either self-evaluate in terms of ask yourself what it means, or you can openly discuss it with others that are listening in. And the beautiful thing about it is when you express yourself verbally, when you call in and express yourself verbally, then you are really blessing someone that may be listening. You don't know where they are. You don't know what they may be going through, but something that the Lord may be saying to you will bless them. So that's the beautiful thing about you sharing wherever you are. It's all about blessing someone else. So the first scripture that we look at is Mark 1:15. And if we could just move on to Mark 1:15. Giving your time to turn to the scripture yourself.
Mark 1:15 reads, in the living room, at last, God's kingdom is near. Turn from the sin and act on this glorious day.
Just read that.
Thank you. Okay, it'll be the gift. God's kingdom is near. Turn from your sin and this glorious peace. In the King James Version, it says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The peace is the lead, the gospel. There is the fulfillment of the prophecy that has been given. Those prophecies we talked about for example.
Amen. Well, I look at the scripture, and it's the time is fulfilled. When I see that the time is fulfilled, that is the time for the appearance of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The time is fulfilled. It has been foretold. So now it's saying here that the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And by knowing that the time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, that this is the time that Jesus is saying that we should repent and believe the gospel. And when I look at the word, and when I think about, you know, the word repent, repent is a changed mind. Someone who has changed their mind, who has a changed heart. And when you have a changed mind, and that's prompted by a changed heart, then the result is going to be a changed life. So once we repent, openly we repent to Christ, and we are sincere about what we are repenting, then our life is changed. That's the old man coming over into the new man. So the things that we do or the things that we did, we don't do anymore. We are more about living for Christ rather than living for self. So, what I see, you know, repent. We should repent daily. We should repent daily. I think about the word that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that we all fall short daily. So that means that we should be repenting on a daily basis. But here, Jesus is saying that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. You heard that Jesus was coming back, and now he's saying that he is coming back. The time is at hand. It's right now. And it's time to get to almost get your house in order. It's basically what it's asking for. The house, what is your house? That is the temple of the Lord. Our bodies is the temple of the Lord. How about yourself? Do we exercise sorrow for our sins? Do we exercise sorrow from our sins? Do we turn from them? Or do we continue doing the same thing? Is our walk the same as it was before we repented and asked God to forgive us for our sins?
And as a reminder, do we celebrate? Do we celebrate?
One day, Jesus called together
his 12 apostles and gave them authority over all demons, power to cast them out and to heal all diseases. And then he sent them away to tell everyone about the coming of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In the King James Version, it reads, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does the Lord want us to be saved? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really something to really think about as we look at this. After he called the 12 disciples together, and then he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. When I look at that and I see that verb in there, called his 12 disciples, I think about, and I always try to relate it to everyday principles, when God has called each and every one of us. He's called each and every one of us. Once he calls us and we accept the calling, then God begins to do a new thing within us. There's a new work that takes place in us. And the more that we exercise our belief in Christ, the more power he gives us to be able to do supernatural things.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that. I truly believe that our words and what we say is so powerful we can build someone up or we can tear them down, just even in the carnal flesh. So imagine what we could do in the spirit. So when I look at that, that's just, that's what I see and what I feel. And then he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
They say that there, and I can't speak for myself, and I just don't speak so many different. There's only so many diseases and anything other than the variation to be sick. So, all of those diseases that the Lord has to heal all of his diseases. So, we're supposed to take that power and the authority that the Lord has given because he came to disciples and do the wisdom of Jesus as for him. So we have the power of our word through the name of Jesus. Cast out him. Become against the things of faith. No matter how subtle, everything's not like them. I remember when I was even a young man that the movie Linda Blair, The Exorcist, was a big hit. There were lines, both sold out theaters, were behind hours for the show. This movie was the show, and I remember my mother really just wanting to go see that movie because of the nature of the topic, that she didn't want me to see it, and because of the sound that I was, that I was more of a timid, shy guy. So she really didn't think it was a good idea to see it, but I went to see it, seeing that movie was one thing. The learning, truly learning about how the enemy works against us, and fights against us, nothing like that. I'm not saying that things like that has or will happen, but what I'm saying is that in the everyday, we come against the things of Satan, that we should be guarded about conflicts in our home. That's not a thing. That's not the enemy. And we should take authority of problems with our children, problems with our mates, problems with your finances, problems with your job. Those things are not a thing. And we should take authority of the whole thing. I remember and this may sound silly, but it was a good lesson for my children that in raising them, when there was not enough money, the kids did to pray for it and to come against anything that the enemy would have to hinder it and bind it up, to bind it up and to lose God's presence. I think we need to remember the scriptures that tell us that what's done on earth does have. That so as we pray, we should pray as us. That we should pray that those things be in order here. That God's will, that there's God's will in our life be prevalent on earth as it is. That our home can be in order the way the Lord would desire it. That we love the Holy Spirit. That we cover every door and every window, that our children are blessed, coming and going, that our mates are blessed, coming and going, that they lay their heads down and they know that they can be safely because the ministering and warring angels of the Lord are about us, that our grounds are sacred, and that the blood of Jesus covers the grounds of God, that even our neighbors are blessed by these next door neighbors to us are in the same place. So praise God, I thank the Lord for this. But this scripture also shows us that they didn't have to wait until Jesus died. The authority and power was given through the divine Jesus Christ himself to the 12 disciples. They didn't have to wait until he was before. And right then and there, that they were given that authority, the authority to cast out these. That's power. In the name of Jesus. And we can't forget that. In the name of
Jesus. And although that we're looking at Luke 9:1, Christ sends out the apostles to preach and also to work miracles. But in 9:1-6, it talks about Herod hearing about the fame of Jesus. And he's confused and he supposes that John the Baptist is risen from the dead. Others, that Elijah or one of the old prophets has come to life. And that talks about in Luke 9:7-9, it goes on to talk about the apostles and how they returned and talk about their missions and their success. And then Jesus goes to retire in a place. And all the people, because of everything that they've seen, the miracle works, then all the people began to follow him. And it is amazing that when people see miracles or things that are unnatural to man, that they begin to follow. And it's here, even again, we talk about in 9:7, it talks about nine ten and also 9:11, where Jesus even feeds the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. So some miraculous things are taking place. There are those that believed, and there are those that were still skeptical whether it could be done. And then after the miracle had taken place, then they became a believer again. But then get this, as it goes on, then there's skepticism that falls in place again. They've seen Jesus with all these miracles, but yet there is still doubt.
That would be against the enemy. that was the enemy. Please help us to have faith to know that Jesus is with us here. And know that the Lord has brought us thus far. But the enemy has blinded us to the gift. And I think that praise, of course, that's keeping Jesus so forth as a reminder and as encouragement to God that when I say, when someone comes before the church, before the body, and says, the Lord is the first service, or the Lord is still serving us, or he has still service. Well, actually, it's not my earliest service that ever it was Catherine Schumann, this mother and mother, you know. And my mother raised me. I remember that. I remember that. I can't forget that. I have to remember that and have to remind myself that if what was God did, it was good to do the
Catholic.
And that if he was powerful enough to do such and such that time, then my little concerns should be nothing for me. I think about being at a church in the early days of the that ministry, and seeing someone with my own eyes who I had seen in fellowship with, who was continuous of 24 hours of walk without oxygen or move around without it or have it any of I saw him years afterwards after that still not seeing that and moving around. I saw the shift. And I witnessed him personally also. So we have to tell those stories. We have to tell those stories to us to keep the body encouraged. Those who make me weak and those who make him be lift up. And they'll do the same with you. When you're speak or is down or need a reminder. All of us need encouragement. You can use it. The grace, the mercy, the miracles of Christ. Can't remind us of who we are.
Exactly. And when I think about when we came, you know, out in the wilderness, one of the things they had to do was place it on the doorpost as a reminder of what happened in the past. It did not happen again.
Amen.
And I think it's the same thing for us today. We have to always be reminded, and we're reminded by our testimony. Well, sometimes we easily forget, and I don't think it's intentional. I just think that that we get caught up in so many things of the world. Our jobs, our family, and so many things that we tend to lose track. And we begin to start to forget about what's important. You know, the value. There's a value on everything, but what's important. And sometimes Jesus Christ is not there on the top.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on the top. It's what we need to do right now. You know, Jesus Christ is not acting right now. We don't see any miracles, so therefore we can take a break. And I don't think that there's no time to take breaks. We have to constantly, that's why, you know, I think pray without ceasing. You know, and that means that we're going to always be under attack. So we have to pray without ceasing. We have to keep our minds focused on the Word of God because that's what keeps us healthy, that mentally, spiritually, that's what keeps us strong. And when we study the Word of God, you know, that's that one-on-one communication with God. That one-on-one communication. As we're going through our daily activities, the Word of God is speaking to us. And when we're praying, we're speaking to Him. You know, so that's that one-on-one communication as a reminder. So sometimes we can get caught up, you know, that even with our Bibles. Our Bibles are just laid aside and, you know, we don't have time to read it like we used to. So, you know, as you said before, I think that's just a trick of the game. And we forget until all of a sudden we see that miracle again, like, the, you know, the feeding, you know, of the 5,000. You know, then all of a sudden we're reminded, you know, of the greatness. You know, we think, it's the mind about this glory. So we always have to test our testimony on a daily basis. Always testimony, always a testimony in our mouth. You know, always talking about the goodness and the glory of God. And you know, that's preaching also. That testimony, that's preaching also. We're preaching to people's spirit. When we're shouting for joy about the greatness and the goodness of God, then that's preaching also. Because it goes through those ear gates, and I believe that it reaches the spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit. And their Holy Spirit begins to jump for joy, and all of a sudden things begin to start to take to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, so, yeah, we are, you know, we are a walking Bible. We are a walking testimony. You know, every day when we wake up, we are a walking testimony. You know, we don't, again, it's difficult to this. We don't have to wake up, but God has allowed us to be able to sleep through the night and protect us, wake up. And first thing I like to do is thank God as soon as I open my eyes. I like to thank God. So that's the beauty of, you know, that testimony and, you know, being a child of God. It's constantly in our mouth. We're constantly speaking of the joy that we have. We are moving on. We are at 11. Again, for those that are listening at this time, if you want to call in and join in on our discussion, the number to call is 347-237-4054. 347-237-4054. And we will connect you in, and you can share with us what the Lord is saying to you, and just be a blessing at this time. And we thank you for listening in, and we also thank you for those that have the heart and the desire to want to call in and share any discussion.
Area code 574, would you like to add or comment on the scripture that we just finished? Area code 574.
Well, actually, I had just called in or whatever. I just got off of work.
Thank you for being there. Thank you for being a part of this time is supporting us, and we do appreciate you and all those that are tuning in at this time. We do appreciate you. Again, thank you, and God bless you.
I appreciate you guys, too, the AM ministry.
Luke 11, 2 through 4, and give you an opportunity to look at that. Luke 11, 2 through 4.
And this is the prayer of the Father, may your name be honored for its holy. Send your kingdom to us. Give us our food day by day, and forgive our sins, for we have forgiven those that have against us, and so allow us. And it's in the day first to see
Father prayer.
And he said unto this, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from
sin. Hallelujah. Model prayer. So, don't know how to pray. And if there's no city, there's a don't know how to pray. That's a model prayer. You know, it's written on your heart, and all you have to do is just repeat that model prayer. And there's blessings within that alone. When we look at this and just break it down, and he said unto them, well, let me change it. And he said unto you, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven, not our earthly Father, but we are specifically talking about God, who is in heaven. And then he goes on to say, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. When we look at that word, hallowed, that means sanctified. Something or someone that's set apart. Hallowed. Sanctified or someone that's set apart. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not my will. Not what I want to do at this time. But your will, excuse me, be done. As in heaven, so on earth. However it's done in heaven, so the same thing can happen here on earth. Give us this day. And I have, give us day by day our daily bread. Day by day our daily bread. The Word of God. The Word of God. Give us your Word day by day so that we can live, so that we can feed off of the Word of God.
In the Testament, it tells us the Lord is the source of supply. So he's giving us the Word as our bread, our supply as our bread. Like if you don't see the sparrow stuff for
Amen. 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 How about you, Paula? How do you feel about that where it says, give us day by day our daily bread? Call us 347-237-4054. How do you feel about that? Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And then it goes on to say, and forgive us our sins. And forgive us our sins. Again, if you want to tune in or just open up, we can open it up for you and you can share at any time. And please, we'd love to hear from you. And forgive us our sins. There we go with that repentance. Asking for forgiveness again for our errors, for our ways. But when we ask to forgive us for our sins and forgive us and forgive everyone that is indebted to us, forgive everyone that has done something to us, and lead us not in temptation. Lead us not in to temptation. I think of when someone does something to us, the carnal self or that carnal side wants to get even, wants to get back. And it's saying, forgive everyone that has done something to us, that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us not so that we don't have that same attitude, or we don't have that same feeling of wanting to do something to them in return. But deliver us from evil. Keeping a godly spirit, a godly attitude, walking a godly walk. When I think about the word, you know, God, it says that no weapon on earth that are formed against us shall prosper.
Going back to that, just forgive us our sins. Can we just turn this to Luke 18, chapter 18, verses 2 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, there was a city judge, he said, in his word to Jesus, the parable of the rich man. A very godly man who had great contempt for everyone. A widow of that city came to him frequently to appeal for justice against the man with harmful. The jet ignored her for a while, but eventually she got on his nerves. I fear neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman bothers me. I'm going to see that she gets justice, for she is wearing me out with her heart. Then Jesus said, if even an evil judge can be worn down like that, don't you think that God will surely give justice to his people who plead with him day and night? Yes. He will answer them quickly. But the answer is, when I, the Messiah, return, how many will I find who have faith and are praying? Praise the Lord. So what this means is that as you pray, we should expect if our hearts are divided, he has forgiven. If he's forgiven others to trespass against. So I'm forgiving people that the Lord's going to forgive you too. And he will bless you. Let the Lord take care. Yesterday we had a teacher just on a class. And what Richard Cassie did was a parable about the rich man forgiving one of his debtors within that same debtor. Or the same borrower went to someone who owes him money and demanded the money from him. So, if you've been forgiven as Christ has forgiven, who are we to forgive? Those who owe us, or those who trespass us, or those who sin against us, or those who hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to forgive. Christ was the ultimate
you know, when you think about that in terms of, you know, during Pharaoh at that time. In Exodus, it talks about the magicians where they had to admit that it was the finger of God when Moses was required to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart was hard, and the magician said the things that he did was the finger, that was the finger of God. But the thing about it, Brad, you would think that Pharaoh's heart would be softened because of the things that was taking place. But it was hardened even more. Here's what it says in Exodus 8:19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And in 8:20, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he said, come forth to the water, and say unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Pharaoh's heart. Else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon you, and upon your servants, and upon your people, and into the houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies. And also the ground in which they are, and I will set apart in the day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And with all of that, Pharaoh's heart was still hard. I think of trying to witness to someone and they don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear the gospel. Just don't want to hear it. Just go. Get away from me. I don't want to hear it. Caught up in self and not God. Even seeing miraculous things take place and still not believing.
When the image is back, you just blind to the right?
We are at our next scripture, which is the last scripture that we are going to discuss.
We have more.
Kingdom ministry. Really?
Mm-hmm.
We're in Luke 11:20.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Acts 1:3-8. Acts 3:1-8.
Acts 1:3-8. During the fourth day, after the crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, actually alive, and proved to them in many ways that it was really he about the kingdom of God. In one of these meetings, he told them not to leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them and fulfilled it as the Father's promise, a matter he expediently discussed. John baptized you with water, he reminded them, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a few days. And another time, when he appeared to them, they asked him, Lord, are you going to free Israel from Rome now and restore us as an independent nation? The Father sets these days, he replied, and they are not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great faith to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, about my death and resurrection.
Amen. And that's about the resurrection of Jesus.
So when he talks about the baptism with water, he's talking about with water or in water, they were baptized in the lake. So the baptism of which was symbolic of, but then the baptism in the Holy Spirit was being immersed in the Holy Spirit. They were immersed in the water that the Holy Spirit would come as deep as himself. Amen.
Amen.
And then another thing that I read the part here that said in Rome you could be set free, with Israel be free. Rome was in spot because they were under Roman rule there. When we talk about the freedom of Israel, we look at that even today as what Israel and their homeland and their struggle that God's chosen people to choose have been without their homeland and outside of their homeland or struggling for their homeland for so long. So when will they be free? We don't know. We don't know. But the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is not for us.
Because I think about the promise. When truth was established of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1:3 states, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Just reminding them that about the truth of Jesus Christ. John was baptizing with water, but Jesus Christ was baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Thank you. Mm. Well, how do you know? This is Gospel telling us, how do you know? How is it known when the Holy Spirit came? And that's because the Holy Spirit who gives them, they receive power to testify. And it's a greater effect, that the effectiveness of their ministry would be greater, that their ability to reach out and to minister to others would increase, that they would have power, they would receive power, that the Holy Spirit gives them power. Amen. Amen. It's repeated over and over again about the power of the Holy Spirit.
you know, when I think about that, when we talk about the Holy Spirit in terms of what Jesus Christ was, Jesus Christ baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, thinking, you know, how many days was it later when they received, you know, the day of Pentecost, when all of them received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
How many days was that after all of this took place? Jesus had already promised them to wait on the Father. And the thing I like about it is they didn't ask any questions. They just waited. They waited as commanded. And I think that's what happens with us when Jesus Christ speaks to our spirit and he asks us to wait or to be patient with something that we've been praying for, something that you have been asking for, something that you have been seeking, that Jesus Christ speaks to our spirit, and we know within ourselves. And Jesus Christ is just saying, be patient, wait. That's a command. And then once we show that we can wait, know what that is. Why this is
sorry. I think we have somebody calling.
Once Jesus Christ gives us empowers us with the Holy Spirit, then we're able to do wonderful things in the Lord. I've kind of lost my train of thought with that.
I'm sorry.
With that, then it's okay. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for as we move. Continue to move in the Spirit, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that we just keep our minds focused on your word and that you would anoint, Heavenly Father, our words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. Lord, we just come because you are first in our lives. So no matter what happens, Heavenly Father, as we move forward, Heavenly Father, Lord, what may distract us does not distract you. Lord, so we ask that you just take charge, Heavenly Father, that you just move us forward, Heavenly Father, in your word and in your spirit. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to go back to the callers. And if anyone would like to respond, please share with us. We'd like to hear from you. The number to call is 347-237-4054. I'm John with Dr. Suzanne, and we just have our Bible study, which is every Wednesday at 7 o'clock to 8:30, and it's a discussion Bible study. And we just invite wherever you are, you can call in and be a part of this radio or blog talk radio discussion, and we can just all feed on the Word of God. And I truly believe that it's a blessing that when we all come together on one accord as a body of Christ, when we all come together on one accord, and I just think that there's a blessing. We're blessing someone. So I pray that, you know, those that are listening, even though that you may not be able to communicate at this time, that we pray blessings upon you wherever you are. Wherever you are, you know, that your needs, God will bless you with the desires of your heart. And as his word goes forth. We're just basically talking about in terms of Acts 3, and I was looking at that where he showed himself, you know, as proof. He had to show himself as proof to be seen. And I think about it in terms of what we go through, where we have to sometimes have proof. Sometimes have to have proof in order to become a believer or to release that doubt, you know, that's in our mind. Is he really serious about Jesus Christ? Is he really preaching the gospel? Is he really sold out? Is he? Is she? Always a question. And I just don't think that we are to question anything. You know, we aren't to judge anything. God is the judger.
Amen.
He's the judger. And when I look at here, it says he showed himself alive after his passion of many infallible proofs. being seen 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then it goes on to 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. That was a command, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. So wherever you are, and when God is speaking to you and he's telling you to wait, just wait. Just wait on the Lord and just allow, you know, the Lord to be able to just get the glory. Get the glory. Because when we take things upon ourselves and we move according to how we think that we should move in the flesh, then God is not in charge. We are. God is not in charge. We are. We are the ones who's doing it. So when things happen in our favor, or when something happens that we've been praying for or asking for, then God does not get the glory. God wants the glory. God wants to be first in whatever we do. He wants to he wants to know without a shadow of a doubt that it was him. It wasn't us, that it was him. And that's what happens with us. Our mind becomes, you know, almost like a scale. You know, it's whatever we hit the tape the most is what we, where are we going. You know, if we don't believe, then all of a sudden, you know, that doubt begins to add on to that scale, and all of a sudden it outweighs the belief in God. And before you know it, with thinking negative, with thinking distant from God, and we're not in the place where God wants us to be. So he says, just wait. Wait on me, child. Wait on me. And here's what I see them saying. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you said you have heard of me. For truly, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's when he called the 12 together, and, you know, and everyone was filled, you know, with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And 1:6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Yeah. Thinking that they were looking for his son. Would he reign as a prince at that time?
They still had earthly thoughts about these things.
Right.
They still had. It was still, you know, it was all of this perfect. It was just creation. What? All of her thoughts. They had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have another question. Have I received kingdom power? We need to ask ourselves, have you received kingdom power? Have I received kingdom? Let's turn to Romans 8.
Romans 8.
Romans 8:1.
And the question again is,
have I received kingdom power?
Have I, me, received kingdom power?
In the verses that you just finished, you talked about in Luke. I'm sorry, Acts 1 and 8 about the power of the Holy Spirit, of the things that you did through the Holy Spirit, is operating in the power of the Spirit. Romans 8 and 9, we go a little bit further. It says, but you are not like that. You are controlled by your new nature. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, he is not a Christian at all. So I want to go back and read it in context so we can see the verse that Chris was mentioned to you after. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go back. Let's go back to the book so we can get an idea of what this chapter was about. So there is no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit, and this power is mine through Christ Jesus, has freed me from the vicious circle of sin and death. Can I speak on that just for a moment? Before Christ, we have to remember, like we talked about weeks ago, about the power of the blood and blood covenant. Before Christ, Israel would make sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs, blood sacrifice, animal sacrifice, but they still had the conscience of the blood, of the sin. They knew that the sin was still there, was still evidence of the sin, even though they gave the sacrifice. So they keep giving more and more sacrifices for the sin, but they still felt the sin. They still saw the sin. My teacher, mentor, friend, Sister Pappy, used a great example where she took a cup and she put a cup on the table and she covered it with a red cloth as if that cup were the animal sacrifice or the sin rather. And the red cloth was the blood from the animal. The animal's being sacrificed. Well, clearly we could still see the silhouette of the cup underneath the red cloth. And that's the way the Jews felt under the old covenant, that the sin was still there. It was blood, they did the blood sacrifice, but they still felt sin. They never got away from and still torment them. But through Christ, when Christ came, he obliterated the sin. So the sin was no more. But God doesn't see the sin anymore. Jesus covered the sin and obliterated the sin. The blood of Jesus did that. So in her illustration, she takes the cup, the stain with the sin again, and covers it with the blood of Jesus. And then because the blood of Jesus that obliterates the sin, she smashed the cup. So it was flat. So you no longer see the silhouette of sin or the silhouette of the cup. But all you see is the blood. All you saw was the blood. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is with Christ. So in this verse, when it says that Jesus Christ has freed me from the vicious circle of sin and death, it was a vicious circle of doing sacrifices. At this day you have to do this kind of sacrifice, at this day you do another kind of sacrifice, at this day a calendar of sacrifices, but nothing ever changed. And with prayer and in Christ, there's a change. Jesus Christ came to make things better.
Uh-huh.
And there was change when Christ came. So we were freed from the vicious circle of sin and death. We aren't saved from sin's wrath by knowing the commandments of God because we can't and don't keep them. But God put into effect a different plan to save us. The different plan, I have to get excited about this, but the different plan was Jesus Christ, our new covenant. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful, and Jesus Christ's body was not sinful.
Right.
And he destroyed his control over us by giving himself as a sacrifice for the sin, the final sacrifice for the sin that he gave himself. So now we can obey God's law if we follow after the Holy Spirit and no longer obey the old evil nature within us. So the Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will move you. The Holy Spirit will show you what you should do. Ask the Spirit in your spirit as you're going along. If you have the Holy Spirit will quicken in you to let you know what you should or should not do and where you belong or what you should or should not say. The Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit. And then in verse 4, it says that verse 5, those who let themselves be controlled by their lower natures live only to please themselves. Those who are operating in themselves, those who are operating in the things that are not of God, those that don't have the Holy Spirit, that refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, that are doing sinful things, are living only to please themselves. But those who follow after the Holy Spirit find themselves doing things that please God. If you follow after the Holy Spirit, you find yourself doing things that please God. You do the right thing. I remember when my children would go out, especially my son, Alex, and I can say his name on air. Hopefully he's listening. I would tell him, you know, what would Jesus do? Take the Holy Spirit with you, you know? And if you have the Holy Spirit, you're not sure whether this is something that you should do or something you should get into. Your friends are trying to tempt you to do something or suggest something that sounds like fun. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You can't imagine Jesus doing it. If you can't imagine the Holy Spirit giving you an okay on it, it's probably something that you shouldn't be doing. So you ask yourself and you follow the Holy Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to guide you throughout the day. Following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace. But following after the old nature leads to death. It can be spiritual death and it can be physical death. Because the old sinful nature within us is against God. The old sinful nature that's in us is against God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. It may have seemed like it was okay. It may have seemed like it was comfortable. It may have seemed ordinary and natural. It may have seemed typical, but if it's not what the Holy Spirit, if you're not following the Holy Spirit, it is not of God. It might be all right with man, and even today with the twisted things that we see in society, it can still be not of God, even if society is approving whatever it is. Amen. And that's why those who are still under the control of their old sinful selves, bent on following their old evil desires, will never be God. But you are not like that. You are controlled by your new nature if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ living in him, he is not a Christian at all. Amen.
Yeah, that's basically what what Romans is saying. He's talking to the Christians, to the Christians, and it states that that you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. Reminding us we are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. So we have to constantly stay tuned. We have to constantly stay connected. We have to constantly stay aligned with the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ that's within us. And that's by reading the Word. That's by fellowship. That's by going to church to hear the Word preached. That's by reading your Bible. That's by going and doing something good, visiting hospital, homeless, shelter, just doing good things. And it's saying, but you are not in the flesh. The flesh is not going to want to do all of those things for others. And also, there's the flip side. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, God is saying that he is not a part of him. Not a part of him. This is the opposite character of which, you know, Christ is talking about. He's describing that, he's describing, and it also shows the power of the gospel when we're in the Spirit. And when we're in the Spirit, then there is power of the gospel. When we speak, there's power. When we speak, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, there's power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not in the flesh, it's just the opposite of the Spirit of Christ. When you're not in the flesh, that means that you're not under the full influence of the corrupt desires or the passions that we may have in life. That is when we're not in the flesh. We're not under that, those influences. Amen. What's the other side? About the Spirit. But when we are in the Spirit, you are spiritually minded. You are under the direction and the influence of the Holy Spirit. We are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Again, the question is, have I received? We have time to do this one last scripture. If you'll turn to John 7, chapter 7, verse 37-39. That's John 7, 37-39. And it reads, on the last day, the climax of the holiday, Jesus shouted to the crowd, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water shall flow from the inmost being of anyone who believes in me. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet returned to this glorious temple. Amen. Amen. The living water. The living water. We have to think about some of the terminology, the references that were used during this time, the agricultural society, and of course water was very, very important. We see that even today. We can't live without it. But this living water, water that gives life, water that gives life to your spirit, comes from Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we praise God for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Godhead being with us, living among us, filling us. Again, the question is, have I received kingdom promise? But if you receive the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit live within you? Are you operating in the Spirit?
I look at this and I just want to make a comment on a couple of things. When I see the last day, you know, the last day referring to that was considered the eighth day of the festival, the first day. And the second was that great day. That was the day that was when everyone had assembled, you know, for the festival. That was the great day. But the thing that was going on, during this assembly or solemn assembly, it was a tradition on the previous day that they offered a sacrifice for the heathen nations as well as for themselves. But the one thing I want to bring about is on this day, it was for the Jews only. This was a day that was only for the Jews only. Was it for the heathen? This was a day that only for the Jews only. I just wanted to bring that out. In Leviticus 23:39, it talks about that even more. if you'd like to jot that down, Leviticus 23:39. And I'll read it. It says, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have offered the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be the Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be the Sabbath. That's Leviticus 23:39. So I just wanted to bring that out, speaking about that festival and offering at that time.
I guess with that, we thank you all so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Please include your comments to this. We've got several. Our listening base is growing, so congratulations.
Well,
please leave a comment. Leave a comment, and we could get an offline chat going, an offline discussion. Share our site with your friends. This is our website, this is our Facebook page. If you leave messages for us, we will respond.
Right. I would just like to remind everyone, the basis of the scripture, kingdom ministries, the time has come, and he said, as the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. Mark 1:15.
Father God, we thank you for this time, this evening, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the words that have been shared, Father God, we ask you, Lord, that we pray that they would please be for you, dear Lord, that our interpretation also, Father God, has been pleasing before you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for everyone in this, Father God, everyone who's supposed to be listening, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that each and every family, Father God, is blessed. And we thank you, Father God, for the children, Father God, that they would be blessed by the words of this ministry and the efforts of this ministry, Lord, that our neighbors and our families, Father God, would be blessed. Thank you. We thank you, for, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, for a special prayer, Father God, for those that are seeking salvation, for those that are seeking the Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that they will be blessed, Father God, that it's so to invite Jesus Christ to their heart, to be their source of supply, to be their safe.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, that they would also invite the Holy Spirit, Father God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to live within them and to guide them. Father, we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that we are God always placed for the local church, Father God, but we also want to be a resource. Father God, for our listeners. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, just so wise, so wise.
Yes.
We welcome you, Father God. I ask you, Lord, too, for I feel that we need to pray for healing, dear Lord. So I ask for a special healing, Father God, for those people, Father God, that are suffering, especially with cancer. I'm feeling that we need to pray for those that are with cancer. That is not of God. That is not of God. It is not a lesson. We come against it right now.
Yes,
we command that all of cancer cells, Father God, in particular, Father God, that those cancer cells, Father God, that they be controlled and that they not be those radical cells, Father God, come under the subjection of Jesus Christ right now in the name of
Jesus.
And the cells and her body, Father God, begin to war against those cancer cells. I remind her, Father God, that she is a child of God, that she's your child, dear Lord, and that her body, Father God, is a testimony of who you are, dear Lord. So I command those cancer cells right now to come under subjection. I ask you, Lord, to allow the blood to flow through her body, Father God, like the blood of Jesus, Father God, to flow through all of the other cells of her body, Father God, strengthening them, Father God, that they're able to battle, that she's able, Father God, to battle against those things that are not of you.
Yes.
That they be expelled from her body right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes. I
see them, Father God, gathering and shrinking and cowering, Father God, to the healthy cells of her body. I can see them being overtaken, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, that this woman, Father God, would have a testimony of your healing, Father God. Let it be a miracle, Father God. that even the doctors, Father God, would stand and watch and talk about miracle, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our place, Father God, in the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that goes has gone forth this evening.
Yes.
In Jesus' sweet and holy name,
yes.
We thank you. We
thank
praise you.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you more. God bless you.
I have is lost, it seems.